God is good. He is faithful. I have a good word today. Here's what I know. This word blessed me. And normally when the word blesses me, it means he wants to bless you today. God wants to bless you today. There's been a lot of news in the week, this past week, and we have a new president, and I hope you're praying for the president. And Larry King died. The impeachment trial is scheduled for February 8th. ICE has been ordered to release all illegal immigrants in custody. Nearly 200 National Guard members have tested positive for COVID-19 in Washington, D.C. High-tech banning groups and internet pages, Twitter suspending accounts, Antifa and Black Lives Matter in protest in Washington and Portland, bad things. And I read this, I thought this was kind of funny, but some of you will laugh and some of you won't, but I'm going to tell it anyway. I saw in the paper, sometimes to get a news perspective, you look in different places, and I saw in the paper after the inauguration, the Bidens went to the White House and were locked out. And one newspaper said Trump pulled his last little getcha on the Bidens when they showed up at the White House and it was locked. And then I read another story that told a little more information. What really happened was the Bidens fired all the White House staff, which is typical. And when they got there, no one was there to open the door because they had fired them all. So that's some of the stuff in the news. And FSU won a great basketball game yesterday. They beat handedly Clemson, and which is pretty cool. And very thankful for that. There's a couple football games on that people are excited about today. I know Pastor Perry's excited about Green Bay, and some of you are Tampa Bay fans, so that'll be good, whoever takes the charge there. Here's what we need to do right now, and I'm going to ask you to do that. Push all that stuff aside. Just push it all aside. And we're going to talk in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, blind Bartimaeus. Listen to this story, beginning in verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, the blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many scolded him to get him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. And he said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and said unto him, "Have courage, get up, he is calling you." He threw off his cloak, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said unto him, "What do you want me to do for you?" What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man replied, "Rabbi, let me see again." Now, I want you to understand something. The blind man must have seen before his blindness because he's asking to see again. In verse 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go, your faith has healed you." And he immediately regained his sight and followed him on the road. Here's an interesting little fact. This is the last recorded healing in the Gospel of Mark. Someone let me know, we've had 50 messages up until this point in the Gospel of Mark. And this one is a great story of God healing someone in need. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. Thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to push everything else aside and just sit at your word and hear you speak to us. God, we're in our living room, we're in our car, we're somewhere, and I just pray you invade our space today, Lord, with your presence, with your power, with your word. Change us, help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. They came to Jericho. I think that's interesting because if you listen to and have read scripture long enough, you understand Jericho is very significant. It is the city that Joshua had to conquer before he could obtain the promised land. It was one of the first battles they encountered when they marched around the walls and the walls fell and now they could take over. It's where they sent the spies in and the Rahab was there to give a protect them and who eventually becomes into the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus. Jericho is a moment of grace. Jericho is a moment of victory. It is a walled city that keeps you from God's promised land. Everyone has a Jericho. I am convinced that everybody has a Jericho in their life. A thing that keeps you from becoming, keeps you from receiving, keeps you from being what God wants you to be. And so it is here. Jericho is the place that Jesus performs his last miracle in the Gospel of Mark in relationship to healing. Here. I don't know what your Jericho is. Maybe it's your lack of security, your emotional baggage, your childhood, your woundedness, your body in need of healing. I don't know what your Jericho is, but I know the victor is Jesus. He is the one who conquers the grave. Now Jericho was the beginning of receiving God's blessed promise for the children of Israel. And I believe also in the life of Jesus, Jericho was the beginning of his final march to the cross. He was leaving Jericho on his way to the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. See, Jericho is only some 18 miles from Jerusalem. It's a very common path, even in Jesus' day. It was a dangerous road because so many people traversed it. This is the week of Passover, so it was much more busier than normal. And here Jesus and his disciples are leaving. Commotion must have been loud. You know, it's excitement. They're moving to Jerusalem to celebrate, to have. And there sitting by the road is Bartimaeus. Sitting. You know, he must have sat there a few times in his life, in his blindness. Sitting there begging. Here's probably a man who used to work with his hands, a man that used to work and labor, and now he finds himself blind because of some circumstances, and here he is, sitting, begging. Don't miss the emptiness of his life, the emptiness, the aloneness, depending on others. He needs help to live, to survive. We all are in need of help. That is the thing you and I have to, we all have moments in our life where we're blind, where we need a little help to get over the walls of Jericho, to get over the circumstances and situations in our life. And Bartimaeus reminds us of that. This is what he heard. Bartimaeus heard Jesus was coming. Now, think about that for a moment. Here he is, sitting alone, crying out, people passing by, relying on their gifts to survive. And he hears Jesus is coming. So the rumor of Jesus captivated him. He knew, and he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." There's something powerful about the mercy of God. We see it represented over and over again in the Psalms and in the Old Testament and in the life of Jesus. Listen to what Psalm 4, verse 1 says. "And then I called out, 'Answer me, O God, who vindicates me, though I am hemmed in, you will lead me into a wide open place. Have mercy on me and respond to my prayer. Have you ever felt hemmed in? Have you ever felt like you've been closed in on and you would just like to get out of the house? Yeah. The psalmist knew what it was to cry out to God who knew how to rescue him. I hope you'll take time today to cry out to him. See, here's the significant thing that I think is very interesting in Barnabas' life. As he shouts, there are those who are trying to silence him. Scolded him in verse 48 to keep quiet. I mean, can you imagine the noise, the hustle, and all the stuff that are going around the life of Jesus, his disciples, and everyone following him up to Jerusalem, and they're telling this blind man, be quiet. Be quiet. You're interrupting the process. Someone is and will always keep you from crying out to God when you need his mercy. Don't allow them to silence the cry of your heart. Don't allow the circumstances of your life to keep you from crying out to God. Do you hear me? Sometimes you can't wait to make sense of the circumstances. You just need to cry out to God. Yeah. And you know, sometimes we're guilty because we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. We don't want people to see us. Can I tell you, when it comes to a desperate cry for God, you really ought to focus on him and not everybody else. You ought to focus on him and not what other people are thinking. Don't let your own inhibitions keep you from clinging to God, from pressing through the crowd and touching the hem of his garment for your need. Don't let other things keep you from crying out to God in your need. You know, I'm always amazed at Christians who, you know, they get sick or whatever and then they don't want anybody to know. Listen, when I get sick, you're going to know about it. Because I think it's powerful for the body of Christ to pray one for another. That's what we have been called to do. When we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. Don't cheat the body of Christ from praying for you when you're in need. Humble yourself. Cry out for mercy. Let the saints know you need a touch. I know a story where someone obtained cancer and they didn't want anybody to know in the church that they had cancer because their theology was twisted. They thought that cancer represented sin. Therefore, they didn't want anybody in the church to know that they had sin because they thought it was. Can I tell you something? It has nothing to do with sin. It has everything to do with our flesh and living here on this earth. And this is what we need to focus on. The healer is in the house. He knows how to heal us if we'll humble ourselves. Here is blind Barnabas who is willing to humble himself and not care about what everybody else is thinking, not care about Jesus on a mission and Jesus passing him by and Jesus, he is crying out. I think we need to learn to cry out to God again. For our own heart, for our own life, for our own family, for our own children. Don't miss what he cried out. Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't say, hey, I deserve to be touched here. Hey, I've been, hey. No, he cried out for mercy. And his cry for mercy stopped God. Love that. It's the foundation of his plea, the mercy of God. Not his own righteousness, not his own honor, not his own place, not his own privilege, not his own arrogance. Just this one thing, the character and nature of God summed up in this one word, mercy. And his cry for mercy stopped Jesus. Stopped God for his need. Jesus says this, call to him So they called the blind man and said to him, have courage, get up, he's calling you. Can you imagine what he must have felt? Jesus is calling you. That's the word that comes back to Bartimaeus from his cry. I'm glad to know that there's a God who knows your name. He's calling for you to call out to him. You know, there are some things presidents can do, but they're limited. There are some things governors can do, but they're limited. There are some things politicians and bankers can do, but they're limited. But there is nothing that limits the power of God when his people cry out for mercy. There's something beautiful about that. Now, Jesus sees him, approaches him, or the blind man approaches Jesus, and Jesus asks him one question. I think that's pretty powerful. And this is the question he asked. What do you want me to do for you? Now, if you remember in the previous verses, James and John are asking Jesus for a question, for a favor, and Jesus asks them, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, hey, we want to be on your right and left hand. And Jesus says, that's not for me to give. And now he asks the same question to a blind beggar who is pleading out for mercy. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see again. I want to see again. Maybe you need to have hope again in your life. Don't forget who you need to call out to. Don't forget there's a foundation, a place called mercy. Mercy. That stops God. That makes him stop and ask you a question. What do you need from me? I think that's beautiful. What do you need? What do you need to see again? You need to see a little hope for your children, a little hope for your marriage. What do you need to see again? A little vision, a little that tomorrow can be better than today? What do you need? Maybe it's a physical problem. What do you need from Jesus today? Maybe you're like this blind man whom hope had died a long time ago until Jesus walked by his path. And something stirred in him when he began to cry and everybody else was trying to shut him down. He kept pursuing. Don't ever stop pursuing God. He is merciful to you. I don't know. Sometimes my own discouragement keeps me quiet. You know what it is to be discouraged. Overwhelmed by circumstances and situations, by doctor's notes and prescriptions and discouraged. I'm sure this blind man knew what that discouragement was. I mean, here's a guy who once saw and now can't see, once could go about his business and now has to sit by the road and beg. And Jesus comes by and he wasn't going to be quiet. I'm hoping Jesus is passing you by right now. I'm hoping Jesus is invading your home, your life, your circumstances. And I hope there's something in your heart that's crying out for his mercy to respond to your need, your discouragement, to the people in your life. Do you dare be as bold as Bartimaeus? Jesus told him, this is what Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he regained his sight and he followed him along the road. Bartimaeus joined the party. Joined the celebration. He no longer needed a cane. He no longer needed somebody else's arm to cling to. He was free to follow holy Jesus. The backdrop of the whole story is the spiritual blindness that captivates the nation of Israel. Here Jesus is marching toward the cross. He's about to enter the Jerusalem in a triumphal entry, but yet the people would soon be crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." There's a great lesson in there for us. Mercy finds Jesus. The men hanging on the cross, one cried for mercy, and he found paradise in Jesus. You and I need to learn that our hope is in him. Our hope is in him. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up here because I want you to take a moment right now in your living room. I want you to take a moment right now in your circumstance, in your situation, and cry out for his mercy. I wonder what would happen if Jesus would come into your room and he would say to you, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me? Are you bold enough to say? Are you bold enough to cry out? Are you bold enough to do what needs to be done? Cry out for his mercy. I don't know. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're overwhelmed with the circumstances that are taking place. Can you give mercy a chance to restore hope? Hope for your children, hope for your marriage, hope for the circumstances in your life, the hope for a job, hope for financial stability. Listen, there's a God who knows how to stop for his children. And sometimes we're the ones that need to stop and realize he's in the house. Realizing he's the one who said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. That he's the one who's waiting on us. What do you need from me? What do you need from Jesus? Maybe today. Maybe today is your day. Would you just take a moment right now and cry out to him? Would you take a moment right now and let his mercy overwhelm your need? Would you take a moment right now and know the healer is in the house, your house? Take hold of your hand to lift you up, to touch you, to heal you. I'm not saying it's all going to be over tomorrow, but I know this, hope works amazingly in our lives. If we give God a chance and an opportunity right now, would you just bow your heads right where you are? I want to pray for you, and then we're going to just worship the Lord together and cry out for his mercy to fall in our homes, to fall in our city, to fall in our church. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your church that watches, that's online today. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that they gather in their room, in their car. And I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, let your mercy fall. Hear the cry of our heart today, Lord. We need you, Jesus. God, there are some of us who feel like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, and we're sitting beside the road and we're not, and we need you, Lord, we need you, and we ask you, oh God, for your mercy for our children, your mercy for our marriage, your mercy, oh God, to fall afresh and anew, Lord. Heal spiritual eyes, blinded eyes, heal cancers, heal. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless your church today, Lord. Today, Lord.
Your mercy, your mercy, I stand before my King. I bow my heart to sing you save. You raise me. died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy, your mercy. I stand before my King, I bow my heart to sing. You say, is cast away. You sing a song that covers me. It's your mercy, your
touch me, Lord.
I stand before my King.
Help me, Lord.
I bow my heart to
heal
sing.
Me, Lord.
You saved me and you raised me. You died so I could live. No greater love than this, your mercy.
Move by your Spirit, Lord.
Your
take away the discouragement.
I stand before my King.
Let hope arise.
Oh, turn your face toward me, you save me.
God, by the power of your Spirit,
raise me.
Work your work.
You died so I could live.
Touch.
No greater love
heal.
Than this, your
some of you have been very discouraged. And I just want you right now to understand that His mercy is in your house, in your room, in your car. And you just invite His mercy down. And I guarantee you the discouragement will just melt away. I want to pray for you that have been discouraged right now. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I ask you to touch your people, Lord. They've been overwhelmed by the circumstances and situations that are going on in their life and in their world, Lord, and they're discouraged. They're discouraged of attitudes and circumstances and situations and finances. And God, I just ask you right now, help them. Hear their cry for you, Lord, to restore. Thank you, Lord, that you are the restorer of blinded eyes. You are the restorer of hope. You are the restorer of vision for tomorrow. God, there are others that need your healing right now. Can you just, if you need healing today, would you just lift your hands toward him right now? And I want to pray for you. Lord, I just ask you right now, Lord. There are people right now watching, Lord, that need your touch in their body. God, I pray for Tapu, Lord, that you would just move in her heart and her life. As she cries out for mercy today, Lord, invade her space. Invade her body with your power, Lord. God, I pray for Dee, Lord, that you will touch Dee Dalton by the power of your Holy Spirit. Invade her space. Touch her body, Lord. May she remember this day. May we remember this day, the day you passed by, the day you came in. Your mercy touched us, healed us, transformed us. God, I thank you that you are our hope. And our hope is in you and you alone, Lord, not in the power of man, the strength of men, or governments, Lord. Oh, but your kingdom, Lord, is one that is coming. And thank you, Lord God, for the hope we have in you. We love you, Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Because he knows how to touch me. He knows how to encourage you right now. Hallelujah. Can you slip your hands toward heaven right now and just worship him a little bit and thank him. Thank him for touching you today. Thank him for blessing you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for your church. We thank you, Lord, for the name, the mighty name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, the victorious one. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Your kindness leads us to repent. Thankful for your mercy.
Yes,
your mercy. I can stand before my
Thank the Lord. I'm so thankful for his faithfulness over our lives. I hope you've sensed his presence today. I know I have. I hope something's been rebirthed in your life. I hope he's touched you in a powerful and a mighty way. Thank you for watching online today. And as Joy said earlier, Wednesday night we begin regular services, and then next Sunday we'll meet two times. Come, use wisdom. Use wisdom in relationship to that. You know, we just appreciate your wisdom and whether you can be at church or not, okay? Come prepared to celebrate, and come get ready. God's up to some good things. If you've got a testimony or so, please share that online. Please share that online. It will encourage our hearts to know that God has done something special in your life today. Let me just pray for you right now. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit and the work of your grace through your word. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that never fails. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have in you. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another boldly.